so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehood till wrong looks like right in their eyes. For all of those with eyes that can see, whose spirits are quickened by words they can hear, the truth is alive and he lived as a man whose life was a gift to this world. And if he has called you, this mystery will soon be revealed, and it will set you free. The truth will set you free, like he set me free. Jesus, the way and the truth and the life, whose grace is so wondrously free, who came from the Father and laid down his life, he is soon to return for.
Greetings to my Israelite kinsmen and women around the world. This is part 3 of The Way. This study is covering all the verses that show that there is only one way for our people to follow, and that is true Christianity, which was called The Way before it was called Christianity. It is the heritage, history, and instructions for our racial family. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast or www.ageoflaodicea.com. That's spelled AGEOFLAODICEA. The Way is found in the Word Studies menu. In part 2, we finished with Jeremiah. We now continue in Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 12. Therefore, you son of Adam, say unto the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. Past righteousness does not cancel out present or future transgressions. Past wickedness does not stand against present renewed righteousness. Verse 13. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. There is hope for the wicked of our people. Verse 16. None of his sins that he has committed shall be mentioned to him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, and he shall surely live. Yet the children of your people say, the way of Yahweh is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet you say, the way of Yahweh is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, every one after his ways. Those that do not want to follow the way will say that Yahweh is not equal. That is why he will have a magnificent bonfire of all the denominations that have changed the way to suit their own doctrines, making their false beliefs equal, since Yahweh's way couldn't satisfy them. How can one be saved if there is still sin in the world? So is every saved person sinless? I think not. Daniel 4:37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar had a brief moment of righteousness and acknowledged and praised Yahweh. Micah 4:2. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, and the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. In order to find the fulfillment of this prophecy, we must find a great nation which other nations have flowed into. This great nation would govern with the law of God as its guide, and the word of God as its inspiration. This definitely describes early America. The Jews are not Israel, nor ever followed or taught his ways. We are the true Israelites of the Bible. We follow and teach his ways. Nahum 1:1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Yelkashite. The purpose of Nahum's entire prophecy is to foretell the vengeance which Yahweh will take against the Assyrians for their destruction of Israel and Judah. Verse 2. Elohim is jealous, and Yahweh revengeth. Yahweh revengeth and is furious. Yahweh will take vengeance on his adversaries, and reserveth wrath for his enemies. Yahweh is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. Yahweh hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. The references to adversaries, the enemies, and the wicked are all references to the Assyrians. The Assyrians were of the tribe of Asher, the son of Shem. Jonah was sent to warn Nineveh to turn from their evil ways. They did, but later returned to evil. Yahweh later used the Assyrians to punish our ancestors, and then in return punished the Assyrians for their ways. Habakkuk 3:6. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was Yahweh displeased against the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea, that you didst ride upon your horses and your chariots of salvation? Salvation is evidently not salvation for everyone, for here it is seen in the destruction of men and nations. Just as the prophecy in chapter 2 first told of judgment upon Judah, and then in turn on Babylon, here the prophet in his song seems to turn from one to the other in that same manner. Jerusalem was judged, but when Yahweh was angry and displeased against the rivers and the sea, which are the other races and nations of the world. Malachi 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith Yahweh of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. By the 2nd century BC, the name of God, Yahweh, was forbidden by the Edomite Jew priests to be used. Verse 3. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. The Israelite Levitical priests that rejected Yahweh wound up race mixing with the Edomites. Verse 4. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh rejected the offerings of the Edomite Jew priesthood and honors his covenant with Levi. The same thing happened with Cain and Abel. Cain was the son of Eve and the serpent, so God refused his offering. Abel was Adam's son, and God accepted his offering. Verse 5. My covenant was with Levi of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the reverence wherewith he reverenced me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and straightness, and did turn many away from iniquity. Talking about the Levitical priesthood. In Deuteronomy 33:10, they, the Levites, shall teach Jacob your judgments, and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you, and whole burnt sacrifice upon your altar. In Jeremiah 23:21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way, and from the evil of their doings. This is talking about the Edomite priest Jews that took over the Levitical priesthood. Verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you, speaking of Edom, are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant with Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. These were the Edomite Jews that eventually took over the sect of the Pharisees. They distorted the Torah of Moses into the traditions of men, which is Judaism, and also today it's called Judeo-Christianity. And they're the ones that murdered Christ. This also includes those Levites that strayed from Yahweh to follow Edom. So we can see that in the Old Testament, the way was actually Christianity. Let's see if the way continues in the New Testament. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Verses 13 and 14 Of course, most of us would rather believe the comfortable lie than the uncomfortable truth. We would rather walk the easy road than the hard path. We would rather listen to those who have appointed themselves over us than take up the responsibility into our own hands and study the word of Elohim for ourselves. This is why Luke, in Acts 17:11, said of the men of Beroea that these were a more noble race than those in Thessalonica, who accepted the word with all eagerness, each day examining the writings, if these things would hold thusly. Those seeking to enter in through the straight gate seek to do so through the word of Yahweh. It's easier to believe that church doctrine is the truth when it really is not. It's easier to believe that the Jews are Israelites of the Bible, which they are not. It's easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fooled. That's a quote by Mark Twain. Christ was talking to the Edomite Jew Pharisees in Matthew 21:28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second son, and said likewise. And he said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? They say unto him, The first. Yeshua said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of Elohim before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye have seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. This is one of the many parables that Christ used to expose the Jews and the priesthood that they infiltrated and corrupted. Just like the parable states, when they are compared to the second son, they say, but do not do. They can't, because they don't have the Spirit. John 8:43, Why do ye not understand my speech? Because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. They cannot follow the way, because they cannot understand it. Only the children of Adam can understand and hear, and most of us are not even listening. Matthew 22:15. Then went the Pharisees, and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples, with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that you are true, and teachest the way of Elohim in truth. Neither care ye for any man, for you regard not the stature or status in society. Let us therefore, what thinkest you? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Yeshua perceived their wickedness, and said, Why tempt you me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto Elohim the things that are Elohim's. When they heard these words, they marveled, and left him, and went their way. Christ knew that the society is a result of what the people allowed. If they go against it, they get put in jail or punished. When we don't follow the way, then a mess is made, and we have to deal with it. Mark 12:14. And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that you are true, and carest for no man, For you regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of Elohim in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? If you open your wallet and look at the bills it contains, they are all inscribed Federal Reserve Note. Therefore, they really belong to the Federal Reserve, to the Jewish bankers whom our fathers were foolish enough to grant such privileges as the ability to have them printed and put into circulation as so-called money. So you pay your taxes. Note, the founders of our country warned us not to allow the Jew into our Christian society, or they will have full control in under 200 years. Look how ungodly our society has become. We are now the minority, and the enemy has surrounded us. Luke 1:76. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the prince to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our Elohim, whereby the rising of light from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. But wait, I thought the church replaces the children of Israel in the New Testament. No. The Bible is the book written by, to, for, and about the race of Adam. In no way is this book dividing the promises, covenants, and inheritance from the children of Israel and the church. That raises the question, which church then? Yours? The Methodists? Catholics? Muslim? A building with any mixed race number of people is not God's church. The Greek word, which was changed to church, is ecclesia, and means a called out body, a congregation of the race of Adam, those with the spirit or the DNA of Yahweh. Scripture clearly and exclusively identifies only the children of Israel as saints, the called, the chosen, the only family Yahweh has known, a peculiar people. This is our heritage and our history. This is our way. Luke 3:4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the prince, make his paths straight. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O race of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The Pharisees did not come to John because they believed him. They really came in order to see what he was doing. John was sent to cleanse the sons of Levi, as it is evident in Malachi chapter 3. John's having called certain of the Judeans a race of vipers by itself indicates that they are certainly not Levites. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Elohim is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. John knows that these people are evil, where he says, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? He is challenging them to do good, as Yahweh challenged Cain to do good. Cain was told, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Genesis 4:7. And immediately he went out and killed his brother. Of course, Yahweh knew that Cain could not do well, just as he knew that Esau would be a race traitor and sinner from the womb, and his mixed seed children could not hold water either. Broken cisterns. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in Elohim, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Mansions in the Greek is mone, meaning a staying, the act or the place. Abode. It comes from mino, a primary verb, which means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy, to continue, endure, or stand. The churches teach that when you are raptured, you will stay in a mansion in the sky somewhere. The word does not mean a mansion as a building or physical place. A mansion is a noun. The Greek word is a verb. The King James Version is notorious for changing nouns into verbs and vice versa. The word place is topos. It refers to a space, a locality, a position, condition, or opportunity, a territory. This isn't talking about a neighborhood with stacked out condominiums in the clouds where all the Judeo-Christians go. If we pass this test in this mortal life by striving for allegiance with Christ, we will have a place, a relationship, a position in the kingdom, our eternal abode. The kingdom is righteousness, righteousness here on earth. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. When Christ returns, only the righteous will remain. The unrighteous will be burned up. Verse 4, and whither I go you know, and the way you know. Christ is the tree of life. Christ was the model, the perfect example. Imitate that, and you are on the way. Verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Prince, we know not whither you goest, and how can we know the way? Yeshua said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. The sacrifices and the Levitical priesthood was the way to patch our errors. Now that Christ ended those ordinances with his life, he is the high priest, and the only way to Yahweh is through Christ. The only way to be recognized by Christ is to act like him. Verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Because the disciples knew Christ and followed him, and they followed the way, they knew him and have seen him. Acts 18:25. This man was instructed in the way of the prince, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the prince, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Achaia and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Achaia and Priscilla understood the difference between water baptism and the baptism in the Word. They took Apollos aside and explained these things along with the end of the sacrifices. Most of the people did not understand fully what was happening at the time of Christ and continued sacrificing and performing the ordinances of the priesthood. The book of Acts is a book of transition from the age of the priesthood ordinances and its expiration. The churches teach that the law was done away with. The law still stands. Why wouldn't it? It was the Levitical rituals that were done away with. When Christ died, the Levitical sacrifices and rituals were to cease, because Christ was the last sacrifice. The priesthood expired because they, nor anyone else, can be a mediator or make an atonement for you. It's up to us ourselves to make spiritual sacrifices unto Yahweh. This is done through obedience and allegiance and following the way. Acts 24:14. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. The Jews were always trying to silence Paul. Paul was raised a Pharisee and persecuted the children of Israel. Christ had a word with him on the way to Damascus and set him straight. Now the Jews were after him. Why don't the churches see that the Jew Pharisees, chiefs, and priests never taught the way and always denied Christ? These Jews have always taught their own doctrines of men, the perversion of the laws of Moses. They have also trained all our preachers today to teach their satanic Judaism. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Judeans and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seek after Elohim. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The King James Version has Jews, where the correct word Judeans is. The Jews are not Israel. This is talking about the Israelite Judeans and the Greeks. The Judeans are those Israelites of the house of Judah, the ones that returned to Jerusalem after captivity. They had the law and the knowledge of their heritage. The Greeks are some of the dispersed Israelites that did not return to Jerusalem. These Greeks and other surrounding nations are referred to as the uncircumcised or the dispersed of Israel. They were of the house of Israel, the northern kingdom before captivity. Paul brought the gospel to these Israelites that did not return to Jerusalem and lost and forgot their heritage and had become pagans. Both houses were under sin, and both houses were reconciled under the new covenant. The old covenant and the new covenant are to the same people, the children of Israel. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, destructive systems of philosophy, even denying the prince that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. It matters who and what we worship. It matters that we know our history and heritage. It matters what we teach and learn. Verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Since the 1800s and the Scofield Bible, the idea that the Jews are Israel has been force-fed to us. To take a misinformed preacher's word for it and worship a Jewish Jesus is blasphemy. Verse 3. And through covetedness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. This is talking about televangelists. The gospel is not for sale. Romans 16:18. For they that are such serve not our prince Yeshua Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. 2 Peter 2:21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of Elohim, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Yahweh, Elohim Almighty. Just and true are your ways, you King of saints. The song of Moses is the Old Covenant, and the song of the Lamb is the New Covenant. It's all really one covenant. The way is our path. It is the guide of our race, our family. It is our heritage and our history. It is our compass and benchmark. It is the answer that we must understand and follow to pass this test called mortal life. It is our blessing and our curse. Our Prince Yeshua Christ showed us the perfect example of the way. He gave us the model to imitate. The way is not just some belief or some religion. It is our duty. We must perform it. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Enoch followed the way. Enoch knew that the way was his heritage. The Blessedness of the Saints, chapter 58, verse 1 of Enoch. And I began to speak the third parable concerning the righteous and the chosen ones. Blessed are you, you righteous and chosen, for glorious shall be your lot. And the righteous shall be in the light of the sun, and the chosen in the light of eternal life. The days of their life shall be unending, and the days of the set apart without number. And they shall seek the light and find righteousness with Yahweh of spirits. There shall be peace to the righteous in the name of the eternal Yahweh. And after this, it shall be said to the set apart in heaven, that they should seek out the secrets of righteousness, the heritage of faith. For it has become bright as the sun upon the earth, and the darkness is past, and there shall be a light that never endeth, and to a limit of days they shall not come. For the darkness shall first have been destroyed, and the light established before Yahweh of spirits, and the light of uprightness established forever before Yahweh of spirits. Enoch 82, verse 3. And those who understand it shall not sleep, but shall listen with the ear, that they may learn this wisdom. And it shall please those that eat thereof better than good food. Blessed are the righteous. Blessed are those who walk in the way of righteousness and sin not as sinners. Jasher is the book of the upright. Jasher 3, verse 4. And the messenger of Yahweh said, Rise, go forth from your house and from the place where you do hide yourself, and appear to the sons of Adam, in order that you may teach them the way in which they should go and the work which they must accomplish to enter in the ways of Elohim. And the spirit of Elohim was upon Enoch, and he taught all his men the wisdom of Elohim and his ways. And the sons of Adam served Yahweh all the days of Enoch, and they came to hear his wisdom. And all the sons of Adam assembled and came to Enoch that day, and all the kings of the land with their princes and counselors remained with him that day. And Enoch then taught the sons of Adam wisdom and knowledge, and gave them divine instruction. And he bade them to serve Yahweh and walk in his ways all the days of their lives. And he continued to make peace among them. Jasher 9, verse 5. And when Abram came out from the cave, he went to the household of Noah and his son Shem, and he remained with them to learn the instruction of Yahweh and his ways. And no man knew Abram. And Abram served in the household of Noah and Shem his son for a long time. Jasher 11 verse 14. And Abram knew Yahweh, and he went in his ways and instructions, and Yahweh was his Elohim, and he was with him. Jasher 12:38. And Abram said to them, "Do not bow to me, but bow down to the Elohim of the world who made you, and serve him, and go in his ways, for it is he who delivered me from out of this fire, and it is he who created the souls and spirits of all men, and formed man in his mother's womb, and brought him forth into the world, and it is he who will deliver those who trust in him from all pain." Verse 42. And Abram returned on that day, and went to his father's house, he and the men that followed him. And Abram served Yahweh his Elohim all the days of his life, and he walked in his ways, and followed his law. Jasher 13:2. And the people of the land of Haran saw that Abram was good and upright with Elohim and men, and that Yahweh his Elohim was with him. And some of the people of the land of Haran came and joined Abram, and he taught them the instruction of Yahweh and his ways. And these men remained with Abram in his house, and they adhered to him. Verse 21. And many of the people of Haran, about 72 men, followed Abram, and Abram taught them the instruction of Yahweh and his ways, and he taught them to know Yahweh. Jasher 22:40. And Isaac, the son of Abraham, was growing up in those days, and Abraham, his father, taught him the way of Yahweh, to know Yahweh, and Yahweh was with him. Jasher 23:5. My son Isaac is grown up, and he has not for some time studied the service of his Elohim. Now tomorrow I will go and bring him to the household of Shem and Eber, his son, and there he will learn the ways of Yahweh. For they will teach him to know Yahweh, as well as to know that when he prayeth continually before Yahweh, he will answer him. Therefore he will know the way of serving Yahweh, his God. Verse 28. And Abraham heard this and knew that it was the word of Satan who endeavored to draw him aside from the way of Yahweh. But Abraham would not hearken to the voice of Satan, and Abraham rebuked him so that he went away. Jasher 26:28. And Isaac answered his father and said unto him, "That which Yahweh has commanded, that will I do, and I will not depart from the commands of Yahweh my Elohim. I will keep all that he commanded me." And Abraham blessed his son Isaac, and also his children. And Abraham taught Jacob the instruction of Yahweh and his ways. Verse 34. And there arose not a man who feared Elohim like unto Abraham, for he had feared his Elohim from his youth, and had served Yahweh, and had gone in all his ways during his life, from his childhood to the day of his death. Jasher 29:26. Therefore, take heed, lest you should forget Yahweh your Elohim and all his ways in the land to which you goest, and should get connected with the people of the land and pursue vanity and forsake Yahweh your Elohim. But when you come to the land, serve there Yahweh. Do not turn to the right or to the left from the way which I commanded you and which you did learn. So we can see that not only in the New Testament, but also in the Apocrypha and in Jasher and other books, that the way is demonstrated throughout. The way is Christianity. It's Christianity in the Old Testament as well as the New. It's all one book. It's all to one people. It's all about our family, our history, heritage, and our people. And it's about our God, and his laws and the way in which he wants us to walk in and to know. So what is a Christian? The churches basically teach that if you accept him, or you just believe, then you're a Christian. Some teach to imitate Christ's behavior, actions, and speech, which is true. But since they do not know the history and the identity of true Israel, they don't teach those behaviors, actions, and words, which are taught in Scripture. Everything they teach is based on Judeo-Christianity, is based on Jewish doctrine, and is all upside down and backwards. Let's see what Scripture teaches. A Christian is a follower of Christ. As Christ stated, he is the shepherd. The descendants of Jacob are his sheep. He came only for his sheep. Only his sheep are allowed into the fold. A Christian is a literal descendant of his anointed people, Israel. The churches teach that you become a child of God's when you believe and accept him. When you realize that as an Adamic, Caucasian, Anglo-Saxon Israelite, you are a literal child of Yahweh's in the flesh, then you will realize that you are part of a family, an inheritance, and a duty. The duty as a mortal child of light is to seek, study, practice, follow, and live as a child of the Most High. This is not done by believing or going to church. If you are a Christian, then you take God's word seriously. You study to show yourself approved. A true Christian will seek, study, and prove the words of Scripture, and not just take a preacher's word for it. A true Christian immerses themselves in the Scriptures, reading the books, doing word studies from dictionaries and concordances, learning about our history and our ancestors, learning how to correctly observe the law, statutes, and commandments, Shabbat days and feast days, studying with one another and with those that have true understanding. The internet is a great place to find audio sermons, videos, and slideshows, as well as articles and literature. We must study and discern what we are learning. There are many false preachers out there. Most are unlearned and ignorantly repeating those lies. It matters who and what we believe in. A true Christian loves Yahweh. John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 22:38, this is the first and great commandment. A true Christian loves his brethren and his race. Matthew 22:39, and the second great commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy kinsmen as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Because if you follow this second commandment, you follow them all. Because if you love your brother, then you're loving Yahweh. You're not killing, you're not murdering, you're not adultering, you're not idolizing, you're not stealing. If you just love your brother, you're following all the commandments. A true Christian observes the Shabbats. Exodus 31:13. Speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Shabbats you will keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your posterity, that ye may know that I am Yahweh, that doth sanctify and set you apart. There are more than just weekly Shabbats, and they are not always on Sunday. You can find out more about the Shabbat and the feast days by going to the calendar section in the menu. You are a true Christian if you continue in the Abrahamic covenant of circumcision. If you are an Israelite, physical circumcision is part of the sign of being under the covenant. It doesn't matter that John Hyrcanus started circumcising Edomite Jews around 100 BC, and that the other races do it too. This isn't a covenant with them. And the way that it's done today in the hospitals is not correct either. But there is a correct way to do it. A true Christian knows and obeys the words of the commandments, which were not done away with. Christians know the law. The law should be read once a year. Exodus 20, verse 2. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. The first commandment is, you shall not have any other gods before me. The second commandment is, you shall not make unto you any graven idol, or anything in the likeness of anything that is in the sky above, or the land beneath, or that is in the water below the land. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. The sins of the father are visited on the following progeny. It can take up to four generations to purge out pagan ways and habits. And showing mercy and loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Commandment 3, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your Elohim in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. His name is not God. His name is not the Lord. His name is not Jehovah or even Jesus. His name is Yahweh, and his son's name is Yahshua. We are to call him by his name. Commandment 4, remember the Shabbat day, to keep it set apart. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Shabbat of Yahweh, your Elohim. In it you shall do no work, you, your son, your daughter, manservant, maidservant, nor your livestock, nor your stranger of kin that is within your gates. For in 6 ages Yahweh made the sky and the land, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Shabbat day, and set it apart. Commandment 5. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh your Elohim has given you. Commandment 6. You shall not murder. Commandment 7. You shall not commit adultery. Adultery also includes race mixing, destroying the set-apart seed line and purity of the race of Adam. This part of the teaching of adultery is not taught in the churches because the enemy has distorted our scriptures to suit their diversity and universalist agenda. Race mixing equals the holy seed destroyed. Commandment 8, you shall not steal. Commandment 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And Commandment 10, you shall not desire your neighbor's house, you shall not desire your neighbor's wife, nor his maidservant, nor his manservant, his ox, ass, or anything that is your neighbor's. A true Christian follows the food laws. True Christians with knowledge and understanding know that the food laws were not done away with. Christ did not die so you could eat pork. All the verses that the churches claim that are talking about eating unclean animals and being now clean are not about animals. They are about the lost Israelites that have become pagan. A true Christian keeps the feasts. Exodus 23:14. 3 times you shall keep a feast unto me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it you came out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when you have gathered in your labors out of the field. 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before Yahweh God. Yes, this is the Old Testament. This continues in the New Testament because the whole Bible is about the children of Israel. Christ and the apostles and the Israelites attended the feasts. Paul and the apostles continue to teach to keep the feasts to the Israelites, even after Christ rose. Throughout history, the beginning of America, and these last days, the remnant keeps the feasts. A true Christian has the Ten Commandments posted on the doorposts of his home and the gateposts of his property. Deuteronomy 6:6, "And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as immovable between your thoughts, and you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates." A true Christian takes communion. As Yeshua Christ said, "This do in remembrance of me." You can do it as often as you wish. A true Christian will fellowship with his own kindred and his own race. We are not to associate with the other races or with those of our race that are race mixers and habitual sinners. We are to be a separate people. In the public life, of course, this day and age, we are surrounded by the other races and multiculturalism. In the private life, we can control this. A true Christian puts images and idols away. You do not partake in, wear, or own anything that would offend Christ. This would include anything that does not represent you, your race, or your Elohim. Many of our decorations and furnishings and styles are pagan. It's time to do some house cleaning. A true Christian will rebuke and cast out evil. A true Christian does not tolerate practicing sinners in the congregations or society, does not tolerate mixed race couples, homosexualities, and anything else anti-Christ. The true Christian knows who the enemy is and makes no covenants with them. A true Christian prays continually. He prays for repentance, guidance, blessings, and protection. He prays for the destruction of our enemies, and he prays for our nation, our race, and our brethren. A true Christian will repent continually. We sin daily. A true Christian knows that his past righteousness does not cover present sins. A Christian knows that the law was not done away with. A true Christian will thank him continually. Thank Yahweh for everything, the punishments for disobedience and the blessings of obedience. Thank Moses for intervening on behalf of our ancestors. Thank Yahweh for the angels that watch over us. Thank Christ for his sacrifice. Thank Yeshua for his love, mercy, and compassion. A true Christian does that which is right in the sight of Yahweh. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. Living as a Christian is a daily practice. Learn what is expected of being of the family of Yahweh here on earth, and live it. Live according to the way.